It's a part of the job, moving money from other advisors. And I know you aren't out there totally bashing the work other advisors are doing. You are classy. You are just putting clients through your amazing planning experience, showing them areas of opportunity, and exposing them to the exceptional client experience that you provide and how you do it differently. You might hint at the misses, but you'd never straight up bash another advisor. At least you shouldn't. It's a bad look, and let's be honest, one, you wouldn't want that happening to you. Two, we're trying to collectively elevate this industry together. And three, let's assume that the previous advisor was doing what they thought was right and it was the best that they could do. So when a client decides to make the leap to your business, it's going to potentially trigger some things. And how we do this really, really matters. We talk a lot here about reducing friction, meaning any area where there's something that can slow it down or make it hard for clients, right? We want to make things so easy for our clients. We want to give them the smoothest possible experience. And having a ticked off advisor trying to retain business and jumping down your throat isn't going to grease the wheels for an exceptional experience. So today, we're going to talk about some of the do's and don'ts, things to say and not say, and things you can give your clients to help them break it off with their previous advisor and to make things as easy as possible for you to do business. Breakups are never easy, but let's see if we can't make this a little bit easier. Let's go. Okay, so before we dive into this, I just wanted to share, I was speaking at a conference in Orlando, Florida last month, and one of my podcast listeners was sharing with me just kind of a funny story. She was saying, she's super cute. She brought me the most gorgeous pair of earrings to wear on stage, but she was also sharing with me that when she gets in the car, her kids go, "Ugh, Mom, are we going to listen to Libby or can we listen to actual music today?" And I just thought that was absolutely funny. So just a quick shout out to Lisa's kids. I'm so sorry that you have no idea what's going on the top 100 list now. But your mom is a total rock star and she just started her own firm and she is totally crushing it. And so if you're like Lisa and you're new to the Vision Advisor, welcome. I know you're here because you know it's possible to have energy left over for your family and still have your dream business. And you know what I'm talking about, the business that you are running instead of it running you. I'm Libby Griley, and I started from scratch, built and sold by age 37, a 100% referral-only planning practice that I grew to seven figures as a solo advisor, all while working just 3 days a week and taking off 14 weeks a year so that I could lean into being a mom, a wife, a friend, a sister, a daughter, and wear the other 7,000 hats that you know we wear. And I'm here to walk alongside you and to show you how to do exactly the same and really to help you take immediate action and identify what the most important strategies are for scaling, organizing, and creating less stress and overwhelm in your business. We are about to transform your practice, so move over exhaustion and get out of the way, Advisor ADD. It is time to take that one right next step to build a business and a life that you love. So let's dive into this idea of helping your clients break up with their previous advisor. And before we even go to that point, right, before we even have our clients do the breakup process I'm about to share with you, there's some things we need to be discussing first, right? One of the things we talk about, like inside of our group coaching, or if you work with me, we're always talking about how your clients are feeling coming into this experience and how you want them to feel leaving this experience. And that's true for every process, right? When you're meeting with a prospect for the very first time, how are they feeling coming into your office? And what do you want them to feel leaving? And then our job is to build the invisible bridge to move them from feeling whatever they're feeling, whether it's nerves, fear, embarrassment, trepidation, to wanting them to leave with excitement and optimism. Our job is to build through our language and through our process the invisible bridge that moves our clients psychologically from that one point to another. So we want to think about what's happening here during onboarding and our clients are moving their assets. How are they feeling coming into this part and how do we want them to feel leaving this experience? And as I said in the intro, right, we do not want to talk crap about their previous advisors. It's not classy, it's not cool, and they might have actually liked their person on a really personal level. And worse, like, you don't want to feel, we don't want them to feel like you are attacking some of the decisions that they made and that they said yes to, right? That might actually highlight their insecurities. So if you come into this idea where you're presenting recommendations or you're walking through gathering data and you're going, oh my gosh, I would have never done that. I'm like, wow, what is this? Like, that's terrible. Man, you were sold this. This must have been an advisor who's just out to get a commission, yada, 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 right? You might highlight some of their insecurities that they are feeling. So we want our clients to be feeling a certain thing when they leave this experience. And we want them to be excited about working with us. We want to create that friction-free or as close to friction-free as humanly possible environment for them. So one of the first things we want to do, don't talk crap about their previous advisors. If anything, we're going to build them up, and I'll explain here in a minute. So the second thing to think about is this industry already has a bad rap. A few crummy individuals with their Ponzi schemes and their polyester pants are rolling in and selling products that aren't applicable to certain people and doing, you know, doing the thing that you sometimes see and experience and hear about. And there's enough of those out there that it starts to drag on the reputation for those of us that are actually doing the right thing and wanting to be a true fiduciary and help these clients and put them into the right products and services to move their financial life forward. So the industry has a bad rap. So it's our job to make sure that all ships rise together and to talk positively about the previous advisor. And I'll walk you through some very specific examples here, but we do, we want all ships to rise together. We do not want to add any fuel to the fire that there's charlatans or people with bad intentions out there. And kind of the third thing to be thinking about is just because it's not the way that you do it, right, doesn't make the way the other advisor did it poorly. If you gave a financial plan to 100 different advisors, you're going to get 100 different plans, right? So we want to be thoughtful and sensitive to the fact that, like, maybe that's not how I would have done it, or that's not how I would have positioned you, or those might not be the specific recommendations that I made. It doesn't mean that those recommendations were wrong. And so what we don't want to do is set our clients up to be in this place where they are worried that they might mess up again, that, oh my gosh, I didn't even know for the last however many years that I was in this thing that was not good. And oh, shame on me. I should have done more homework. I didn't do my due diligence. I didn't know the thing. I didn't understand it. Oh, this financial stuff is so confusing for me, right? We do not want them to be feeling those insecurities that potentially could cause them to freeze and or, right, when you're kind of putting somebody else down, right, you're putting yourself in a position where the clients might be going, am I making the right decision here? Should I get an additional opinion before I say yes to this person, right? And we all know, like, if you've ever, I'm going to take you back to like high school and college where you went on a first date. And if that person was just sitting there bashing their ex, you kind of were like, character-wise, I don't know that this is the person for me, right? So we don't want anyone to feel like they got scammed or they got, you know, blindsided with the wrong thing. Instead, we just want to set the stage for how you do things, right? We just want to highlight what you're going to be doing for them moving forward. So things that worked super well for us is when we were working with prospects, we would talk about, you know, taking the work that their other advisor had done for them as they were sharing, like, oh, we did this and then we did that. And we were asking questions like, well, what was the original intention of the purchase of this? Is it still serving that purchase? Are you open to us taking a look at it and doing a deep dive and just either giving you a second opinion or a good housekeeping stamp of approval, right? And our clients were always open to that. We always wanted to point out positive things that they were doing and about what they've done so far, right? So we would highlight for clients like, oh my gosh, so even if they were in the world's crappiest product, you would say, oh my gosh, it's so wonderful how much you've saved. And oh gosh, it's so great that you had this invested so aggressively in the market, right? We'd set up positives. You guys have heard of a compliment sandwich, right? Where you say something positive, then you say something constructive, and then you say something positive again, right? So this is what we're wanting to do, is set the stage and point out some positive things that they've done so far because of how it will make your clients feel. Another thing that worked super well for us, and I'm just kind of spouting random things here, was what I called the 75% rule. So we always said, if you want to end up with 100% of the assets, ask for 75% of them. So we'd throw in a compliment here or there to their advisor, you know, definitely complimenting their clients. And we'd usually say like, oh, well, this portfolio over here, it's not bad. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with it. So we would suggest, I mean, if you want to move it, you can, but really it's fine where it is. It's fine doing what it's doing. It's, you know, we would do it slightly differently, but it inherently there's nothing wrong with it. And what we found by picking one or two portfolios or one or two accounts and saying, just leave those here, and you could totally disagree with me on this, what we found is we ended up getting them anyway, right? And to us, it felt a little less greedy or a little less aggressive saying, oh yeah, move everything. Everything makes sense to move, right? So the psychology behind it was, we're going to ask for 75% in order to get 100% by stating like, hey, this thing you did over here, it's not bad. It's good. Here, you like compliment. However, if you did add it to the portfolio with us, it would, you know, slide you down on the AUM scale. So your fee would be reduced, but you know, there's nothing wrong with it the way that it is. So we would always try to leave something somewhere. And then our clients would usually, if not immediately, go, well, if we're just going to move it, we're going to move it all. Or we'd wait a year or so and say, hey, how is it going with that other account? Oh gosh, you haven't met with him or her. You know what? Is it time for us just to go ahead and bring that over again? There's nothing wrong with it. But now that you've kind of seen what we do over here, it might actually make a lot more sense if we could actually manage that for you. So that's my 75% rule. Another thing that we like to do, so before we even get into how your clients can break up, what to tell them to say to break up with their advisor, is also providing them options. So I'm a big fan of not selling them anything and letting them buy. So always providing them two choices, at least, no more than three, of you could do this or you could do this. Here are the highlights and the benefits of this one. Here are the highlights and benefits of this one. Here are some potential drawbacks of this one. And here are the potential drawbacks of this one. And letting them make the choice. And usually they're going to default and say, well, what do you think we should do? And you're like, well, personally, I think this one would fit you better. However, right, both of these are really good. And both of these have, you know, here's the pros and cons, right? And letting them make that decision. We found that that worked really well for us too. From a compliance standpoint, we were always showing them multiple things the client was choosing, and then they could never really turn around and be like, oh, we were sold something, right? Because that's a lot of the language that we see in more aggressive replacements or more aggressive transfers is, oh, you were sold this. Oh, that advisor is just looking for a commission. Oh, you know, fill in the blank, whatever negative thing, right? So even if your client is bashing the advisor, do not jump in on that bandwagon. You wouldn't want someone doing it to you, right? You can say things like, oh, I totally hear what you're saying. Oh, it must feel yucky to feel that way. The way that we would phrase things when we did see things that were like totally crazy is we would say, you know, one of the things about this product that I'd like to consider here is, and then highlighting one of the negative pieces of the product versus instead of saying something like, this is wrong, or I wouldn't have done it this way, or this thing is a total piece of crap. You know, you could instead say, one of the things I'd like to consider here is the really, really high internal expenses, or the lack of something, something, or that this is very aggressively invested and your risk tolerance is much lower. Right? So again, instead of saying this is wrong or I wouldn't have done it this way, but okay, you know, instead I'd like, one of the things I'd like to consider here is this.
Money is all around us and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Even if your client is bashing the advisor, seriously, do not jump on that bandwagon. Kind of like if you have siblings when you were younger, if you were making fun of your brother, fine. But if somebody else did, oh no, absolutely not. So maybe it's that same concept, right? And we don't want them going back to the advisor and saying something, you know, negative to that advisor that now that advisor can spin it and make you look like a salesy jerk, right? You want to take the high road and you want to keep your side of the street clean. So we liked to say things like, oh, I love what you've done here. We can take all of the work that you and your advisor have done together and we can really elevate it. Or, wow, this is a really great foundation. I think you're perfectly poised to start adding some more sophisticated investment solutions to your mix or alternative investments or whatever your language is. I loved saying things like, oh, we can start adding, or one of the things that we would suggest is to elevate your portfolio by adding some more sophisticated investment solutions. Who doesn't want to feel more elevated and who doesn't want more sophisticated stuff? So if you're sitting here thinking, what in the heck was this advisor thinking? You just keep it to yourself, okay? So language matters. What you say matters because of how your clients will feel. How your clients feel really, really matters. So for example, when I'm coaching and we talk about feelings, right, when we're onboarding clients, I've never had an advisor say to me, wow, I really want my clients to feel super pissed off when they're moving their money, right? That's never something that has come up when I've said, how do you want your clients to feel moving their money to you? We don't want them to feel like they're moving their money to us because they're pissed off at their other jerk, right? We want them to be excited to work with us. We want them to be looking forward to this elevated experience. We want them to feel relief. We want them to feel organized. We're not wanting them to come into our relationship angry. You don't want to be a rebound advisor. Okay, so that's how we set the stage in the beginning before you even replace anything or send any paperwork over. So now that we've kind of established how our clients are feeling and how we want them to feel, and we've talked positively about the work that they've done so far and how we can make it better and enhance it, and they're like, absolutely, we want to do all of this business with you. You do not want to just randomly send over transfer paperwork. What it will do will most certainly trigger a call from an advisor to their clients who are in panic mode. Right? They're not going to have any understanding of what's happening and why it's happening. So they're going to call panicked and they're going to pull on your client's heartstrings and ask them questions like, oh my gosh, did I do something wrong? I'm so sorry. Are you upset with us? Are we just, right? We want to treat others the way that we would want to be treated. And the worst part about that triggered panic call from the other advisor is that it puts your clients in a super awkward spot, right? So now your clients have this advisor on the phone with them who's kind of like, hey, I did this work for you and are you upset with me? And gosh, what you have is really great and I bet your new advisor doesn't understand it. And and then there's this conserving the business and trying to retain it and maybe back and forth. And now this advisor is sending them illustrations and they're forwarding them to you. It just puts your clients in a really, really awkward position. And it puts you in a defense position as opposed to an offense position. Okay, so what can we do instead? So something that we loved to do was have this conversation with our clients about breaking up with their advisor. So this is something that we did as part of our signing party, but have this conversation and provide them language to use to send to their advisor. So we would say something to the effect of to our clients like, hey, we recognize that it can be kind of awkward and that breaking up with an advisor, especially if they're been married for 20 years, we always would kind of make a joke like breaking up is never easy and you haven't done it in a while. So we have a little cheat sheet for you. I'm going to go ahead and send you an email with some language that a lot of our clients have used in the past with previous advisors. That's just kind of made it a little bit easier. And basically, it's a compliment sandwich. So if you're working with us, we'll give you a copy of it. But for those of you just listening to the podcast, it's just something to the effect of, right? We're so grateful for the work that you have done for us for the last 6 or 7 years. We feel terrific about the foundation that we have built. At this time, we have decided to do some advanced planning with the Pinnacle Planning Group. You should receive the paperwork from their office shortly to move our accounts. Again, thank you so much for your service. We appreciate you and wish you the best. Love, Jim and Jan, or whatever. So something along those lines, this compliment sandwich, thanking them for their service, thanking them for helping them build this foundation, something that your clients are comfortable kind of copying, pasting, and shooting off. I can't tell you how many times we gave this to our clients and we said, please do this. We do not want that advisor to receive a surprise. We also don't want you to have an awkward conversation with them. So we have found in the past that sending an email like this is best. And you might get an email back from your advisor, and here's a couple additional things that you can say, right? So more often than not, when our clients sent an email like this, the advisor, you know, would write back something kind of, you know, like a little Eeyore, like, oh man, sorry to hear about, you know, the fact that you want to leave. Gosh, I hope I didn't do anything. You know, good luck to you. Or man, I'd love an opportunity to talk to you guys and see if I can't, you know, figure out what went wrong, you know, and just providing them the language, like giving them a cheat sheet, right? Here's a cheat code to a couple of things that you can say to make this easier. And the result is that your clients feel better about it because now they're not anxious, right? We want to talk about that feeling. Ooh, there's going to be some anxiety, especially if they liked their person or had a reasonably good relationship with them. Or what if they hated their person and now they're like anxious that this person who maybe they had a rougher relationship is going to reach out and lash out at them. So we want to be thoughtful about what are they feeling. And one of those feelings that comes up that we don't talk about often with our clients is this anxiety over transferring the funds from their previous advisor. So we loved to provide this to them as a way to grease the wheels for a smoother transfer process. And it gives them a heads up that it's coming. So again, they're just not taken aback. I guess they'll be taken aback by the email, but they're not just like receiving this transfer paperwork. Something else you could even throw into this email, you know, we put like, you should receive the paper from their office shortly. You know, you just, we're wanting to put something in the email like, hey, we've signed the paperwork and it should be over. Like something very definitive. Like we've completed this stuff. It's happening now. Thank you again. We appreciate you. Wish you the best. Blah, blah, blah. Even if they don't like them, they still want to send something polite. It just makes the whole process easier. So hopefully that was helpful for you guys, some do's and don'ts of how to help your clients break up with their previous advisor. If you don't have a breakup email as part of your process, I would highly, highly suggest that you integrate this into your signing party. So as your clients are completing paperwork, right, even if it's DocuSigns or whatever, however you're doing it, having this conversation with them, which is why I'm a big believer in signing parties in general, but having this conversation with them and giving them the language. Again, we don't, just as much as you and I don't want to sit down and stare at a blank piece of paper and have to figure out what to say, we don't want to do that to our clients either. So let's just give them some thoughtful language and a couple of responses that they can copy and paste and not have to think about. And I promise your clients will thank you. And if you haven't already, there are a ton of Efficient Advisor podcast listeners signed up for the Retirement Tax Services Tax Summit coming up this September. I am speaking September 26th at this conference, and we are going to do something fun while I'm there. Again, even though I've been talking about this, I still don't know what it is yet. We're going to do either some sort of like speed coaching, almost like a speed dating kind of thing. We're going to do some sort of small group. Maybe we're just going to do a small group hangout. But if you use the link in the show notes or the link out on my website, when you go out to the website, theefficientadvisor.com, there is a banner up at the top that you can click on. And if you register using that link, you'll be in the pool of Libby's listeners that are coming. And we're going to do something really special. So I'll send an email to you guys letting you know, hey, here's what we're up to. Here's what we're going to be doing. So I'd love to have you. It's a super reasonably priced conference, and it's in Tempe, Arizona this September. And I would love, 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 love to hang out with you and hug you in person. And if you don't like hugs, too bad. All right. You guys know where I hang out, over in the Efficient Advisor community on Facebook and over on LinkedIn. Thank you so much. And I hope you have an amazing rest of your week.